numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander. It is Wyatt Tomchek in the hizzy, in for Kelly Bidlin. Wyatt playing hurt this morning. You all right, Wyatt? You good?
We're good. Those last 5 minutes, it was a little hectic getting up here.
Yeah.
Those last 5 minutes, we're good.
Okay, good.
We're good.
I'll let you all read between the lines on that. Wyatt's doing well. I don't usually come on here and, promote, I do promote what's coming up on the show, but I don't do it with such zest as I will today. But coming up on the show, Chris Felica on his season-long NFL bets, specifically coach of the year, defensive rookie of the year, offensive rookie of the year, offensive player of the year, defensive player of the year, MVP, all of his thoughts on that. And Steve Fezzik in studio. Looking forward to Fezzik being in here. Fezzik taking time out from being mean to people on Twitter to be the nice guy that he is in real life here in studio. So that's always exciting. Steve and I are not going to be able to get to everything we want to talk about, but just to let you know what we will effort on the show today, and some of these we absolutely will. Most of these we will. If not, we'll just come back on Monday. But he's got his favorite five bets that exist right now in sportsbooks. He's got his favorite five bets NFL related, and he will give them all out here. And if you're thinking, oh, are these season long from Steve? Oh, you haven't met Steve before. These are specific, very specific bets that are coming up. His favorite five, plus just a bunch of macro sports betting topics. I mean, that's the, by the way, why did I just say topics? What just happened there? Sports betting topics that Steve is, listen, if he's coming in studio, I want to bend his ear on all kinds of subjects. We'll talk about when it's okay to parlay. Steve Fezzik is a very anti-parlay guy. Every time Mark Borchardt comes on here, he always says to me, he says, and I say this to Mark on air, so we're not talking behind his back, he says, Mark is the smartest guy in the world, and then he ends his segments by giving a parlay, and that drives Steve crazy. So we're going to talk about the times it is okay, per Steve Fezzik, to bet parlays. We'll talk about MLB side betting this time of year and why that might not be something you want to do. Steve's thoughts on that. Side end totals, quite frankly, to be honest with you. And then just other topics, sharps, unwillingness to listen to other sharp bettors. We'll get into that. What you should be thinking about in college football the first few weeks of the college football season. And who knows, we might get frisky and talk about, seven stars and why he thinks it's so good at Caesars. I don't know if we'll have time for that, but we'll try to do it. So not only are those two guys on the show, Felica and Fezzik, but John Legesa on Major League Baseball, Zachary Cohen on Wimbledon, Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke on baseball today, Ben Wilson on Wimbledon as well. Wimbledon, basically, what we got today? We got the perfect show. We got Italians, Jews, and randoms. Okay, I love it. It's awesome.
That's not where I was going with my question.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Can I ask you a Wimbledon question?
Yes.
Out of the four majors or Grand Slams, is this your favorite one?
Favorite. So let's talk about favorite from a fan, favorite as a bettor.
Fan favorite.
I think as a fan, it's still the U.S. Open.
Okay.
Because the U.S. Open is still the rowdiest, right? They let you those night matches at the U.S. Open. If you have a bucket list thing in life, in sports, and I know most people aren't like the biggest tennis fans in the world. Tennis is sort of like third or fourth maybe on their list. But there's nothing like a night match at the U.S. Open where you're allowed to sort of get rowdy. Wimbledon is still the most prim and proper of them all. It's still great. From a betting standpoint, it's the shortest, season. So the data is tight, and there's some art to it as opposed to the science of it, right? As much as we want to believe that it's science. So I think from a fan's perspective, it's up there. I like it more than I like the Australian, for instance. But
your
it's not.
Sleep schedule's better.
Sleep schedule's better. That's for sure. That is for sure. But from a betting standpoint, it's not number one. However, I'm glad you asked me because here's the thing. So the draw came out in the middle of the night here, stateside, 1 a.m., 2 a.m., somewhere here, Pacific time, it came out. And what we're hoping to do, so a little less than 2 hours from now, Drew Dinsick and I are doing a Beating the Book podcast on Wimbledon. We're going to talk about how the draw shook out on both the ladies and the men's side and where the bets are. I also wanted to open the show with that as well. Only one problem thus far, Wyatt. Nobody's got quarter odds out yet that I can tell as we do this at 7:05 Pacific time. 7:05 a.m. But what I did do was go through the draw itself and sort of suss out, okay, who ended up where, and where, once those numbers come out, if those numbers are proper, I believe a bet will take place. And so this is, you know, as actionable as it can get for this moment without the numbers coming out on quarters. So just to review again, if you've missed it, the overall, to win the championship, the outrights that I have bet, the futures, I do have an Iga Swiatek at 4-1. I do have an Iga Djokovic, Kiniela, if you will, a parlay at +550. And I do have a Kvitova Djokovic parlay at 13-1. Now, here's the thing. Those are to win it all. But now that the draw is out, we can sort of dive deeper into where I think the quarter bets are. And let's start on the women's side, because the men is a little more straightforward, obviously, with Joker at the top there. So the ladies' side, Q1 Iga's quarter, if you will. And by the way, let me just say this, add this to the mix. Iga just said she's playing in Bad Homburg in a grass court tournament. What always is the case with her is she ends up, you know, winning at the French, and then she just wants to go away for a while. And her whole thing is, how many grass matches can she actually get under her belt before Wimbledon? And the answer is never even one hand's worth, you know, never five fingers worth. So she pulled out of Bad Homburg overnight, citing that she wasn't feeling quite well. Now, here's the thing about that. I don't know if she's not feeling quite well. She just might have thought to herself, you know what, I got the requisite amount of matches in. I'm good. Now the best thing I can do before Wimbledon starts. Wimbledon starts in less than 48 hours. Not for her, but the tournament starts in less than 48 hours, the main draw. She's probably thinking to herself, rest is better than me playing through this tournament, as she reached, by the way, her first semifinal of a grass tournament ever this week before pulling out. So in her quarter one, it's Iga, with that as a backdrop. Iga, and the other names you should know are Daria Kasatkina, Coco Gauff, maybe Belinda Bencic. I'll just throw that in here because historically she's been a great all-court player. If Iga's Iga, she's winning the quarter. If Iga is not Iga, and this is legit that she's not feeling well, because there has been, listen, folks have, Elena Rybakina most prominently, has suffered from, we don't know what, maybe COVID, but she suffered since the French Open, so we're hoping it's nothing like that. But if Swiatek somehow is not able to be herself, the name that would leap off that page in Q1 for me would be Daria Kasatkina. But there's no way I'm betting her as long as I don't know that about Iga, right? So I'm just going to assume Iga's fine. So there's no bet there, just letting you know what the second name would be. Q2 is where I think there is a bet. I don't know what the number is yet, so I'm hoping that the number induces a bet on this. But if you can get, you know, anything, boy, I'll just say 5-1 per my numbers, even 4-1 on Veronika Kudermetova in Q2. If you could get anything like that for her in Q2, I think that's the play, because that's a quarter at Wimbledon that includes Jessie Pegula, who's not in top form, Kudermetova, Donna Vekic, who does have good grass numbers, but not as good as Kudermetova's, and Caroline Garcia, who I'm not really trusting these days. That's Kudermetova's to win. I think that's the bet in Q2. Leila Fernandez would be the wild card. I don't know what we're going to get out of her. At her best, she could surprise everybody, but I just don't, I'm not in full trust mode on Leila. So Kudermetova would be the bet in Q2. Q3, and this is why, by the way, when the draw came out, I'm just sort of laughing through all these, because, man, both on the ladies and the men's side, boy, did they stack certain quarters. And Q3 and Q4 on the ladies' side, my goodness. Q3, Jabeur, Pliskova, Haddad Maia, Ostapenko, Rybakina, we don't know if she's full strength, Rybakina, and our girl Petra Kvitova. So did I love Petra Kvitova before the draw came out? I loved her. Do I love her as much now that the draw is out? Incrementally lower. I'd still bet on her to win the quarter. I'd still bet on Kvitova to win the quarter, despite the fact that she did not get that favorable of a draw. Q4 is the one that's wide open to me. Sakkari, Keys, Andreeva, Mira Andreeva, Barbora Krejcikova, Ekaterina Alexandrova, and Aryna Sabalenka. Honestly, none of those would surprise me. None of them. So if you're looking to take a long shot stab in any of these quarters, you could tell me any of those six names in Q4. Sakkari, Keys, Andreeva, Krejcikova, Alexandrova, Sabalenka, and I would not be surprised if, you know, again, we don't have the numbers, so I don't want to like land on one and then be like, yeah, you said this person. But I'd once the numbers come out, and hopefully by the podcast here in a couple hours I'll have one, there will be a bet on one of those six ladies. On the men's side, Alcaraz, you know, they didn't do Alcaraz any favors. He's got Zverev and Dimonor and Tiafo and Rune in his quarter. I still think he's the best, obviously, but man, that's not easy. That's a gauntlet. Medvedev in Q2 got a bunch of in-form players that theoretically he should be able to overcome, but I don't know. There could be an upset in there because there's all kinds of names. Mannarino, Griegspoor, Cerundolo, Raonic, Paul, Norrie, Korda, Shelton, Cressy, Murray, Tsitsipas, all in that queue, all in that quarter, quarter number two. I think the bet on the men's side is in Q3. So like I think the bet on the ladies' side is in Q2 with Kudermetova. I think the bet on the men's side is going to be on Q3. He might be the short shot. In fact, I'm guessing he'll be the short shot to win this, but the number ought to work out for Jannik Sinner in quarter number three on the men's side. He has an out-of-form Taylor Fritz, Bautista Agut, and Casper Ruud. Casper Ruud's never gotten past the second round at Wimbledon, not his surface. So I think that's the bet on the men's side. Again, without knowing the numbers, I'm going to guess it's Kudermetova in Q2 on the ladies' side and Q3 Sinner on the men's side. And then Q4 is Djokovic. Djokovic's quarter. Yeah, he's got Rublev. Yeah, he's got Kyrgios, who was a finalist last year. Yeah, he's got Bublik, who is a serve specialist, but it's Novak. So any other bets would be just foolish. We'll come back. Let's begin with John Legesa and baseball next as we crescendo to Felica, Fezzik, and others. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
The Sports Betting Network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today. Stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. It's Gil Alexander, and I'm told BetMGM, not Nevada BetMGM, but BetMGM, the rest of the country, just starting to trickle out ladies' side quarter numbers. So that's starting to happen, as is one other book. So by podcast time, we should be good, at least on the ladies' side with quarters. Excited about that, that's for sure. As not only is the grass season the shortest, but also the podcast ability to get it in, work it in before the tournament starts. Baseball, Marlins, what was the 14 games over 500? The only other two times they've been 14 games over 500 at this point in the season. You guessed it, they won World Series.
How about the staff of the Marlins?
You like that trend? Yeah. 2-0 lifetime winning the World Series, but this far above 500.
Yeah. So they've been in the playoffs three times. Two of them they've won the playoffs. That's pretty impressive.
They've won the playoffs. Yeah,
won the playoffs. Won the World Series.
Well, back in the day, Wayne Isienga, the strategy was build it up, tear it down. And that worked out for them, 1997 and 2003. They were an expansion team in 1993. They had won two World Series within their first 11 seasons. It was phenomenal. And by the way, that 2003 team that beat the Yankees, one of the great betting runs ever, if you just kept pounding the Marlins. Because in those days, the Yankees, it was right. We didn't know it was the end of the Yankees dynasty, but it was right at the end of the Yankees dynasty. And so they were still getting huge numbers on the Yankees. And Josh Beckett would just roll out there and crush them. It was phenomenal back in the day. Shohei hit another home run, his 14th of July, of June yesterday, as we're just about 9-10 days away from the All-Star break. We bring in John Legesa, ladies and gentlemen. Always great to have the shot of energy. He writes for The Athletic. He's the host of the Call to the Pen show on the Hammer Betting Network. Rob Pozzola's outfit. How you doing, John?
What's up, Gil? Good to see you, man, as always. Yeah, round-the-clock baseball, and I'm getting ready for football, getting all that future stuff ready. What an exciting time. I love it.
All right, so let's talk about a baseball future that you like right now. We're at the halfway point of the season. Some teams just passed it, some teams just before it. You do like something in the NFC West very much at this point.
Oh, who's got football in the brain now, Gil? NFC West, I see you.
Oh, I'm sorry. No. NL West. Pardon me.
America's game, right? America's game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right now is a very interesting time of the season. We're kind of playing this game with the market of like, are you buying what we saw or not? You know me, I love the plus odds. And I also like we speak about this, or we have spoke about this a few times over the last couple of years, how when we get involved with futures, one of the most important things for baseball is trajectory, right? Make sure that you are being involved with a team that is moving forward. They're going to be adding assets and not selling off. Over on the Marlins, those Marlins you mentioned, when they're not the title years, sometimes they pace to win 75 games, but in August they sell off and you end up dropping it. So right now, give me the Diamondbacks, who are, man, one of the most exciting teams in the National League. They're playing great. They're 2.5 games in front of the Dodgers right now, 2 games in front of the Dodgers, and they're at plus 400 just to hold the division lead. The thing, again, I mentioned trajectory. The Dodgers, as good as they are, Dodger Magic, all that thing, the Dodgers right now have all hands on deck. Sheehan is up. Miller is up. They've gone through some injuries. There's not really much left in the cupboard there, right? We've seen a bit of Michael Bush. We've seen a bit of James Outman. That's all they got. The Diamondbacks, man, we haven't even seen everything they have. And, you know, they have just a plethora of talent. They move Jake McCarthy. They could move Alec Thomas and bring in pieces. And, again, that's what I think they need. Give those Diamondbacks one more starter, and this number is going to get cut, you know, in thrine.
In thrine, he said.
Diamondbacks,
by the way, a 2-game lead over the Dodgers currently in the National League West, 2.5 game lead over the San Francisco Giants as we speak right at this moment. Last, they did have a bit of a, and I don't know how serious this is, none of us do know, Corbin Carroll left the game yesterday against the Rays, 6-1 win for the Rays over the Diamondbacks in Arizona yesterday afternoon. Corbin Carroll, he swung and missed at a 2-2 pitch. He got struck out. He sort of walked gingerly off. It wasn't about the legs. It was about a sore shoulder. It sort of looked like it was a neck injury, but it's really a sore shoulder. I think it's a shoulder he had surgery on before. So obviously that's something to monitor as well as he gets you know, voted into his first All-Star game. But that is certainly something to watch.
Absolutely. After the game, they gave him some kind of stress test and said he passed. He was able to put weight on it with stability. They're saying it's not a big deal at all. Now, generally, I don't buy into coach speak, but it does sound like it's not a big deal. I would think worst case scenario is he's out into the All-Star break.
But yeah, that's what
I think it's
thinking.
Wheels up for the Diamondbacks. Yeah, that offense, they're just bludgeoning bad pitching right now.
Yeah, I agree with you about the worst case scenario through the All-Star break kind of thing, because there is, again, just a couple handfuls of games left, about 10 games left before then, generally, for these teams. So there it is. Those are the standings. 4-1 shop around for these. The Dodgers are the favorite still to win the NL West at minus 175. The Giants actually incrementally shorter than the Diamondbacks. So the Diamondbacks, while being in front, the third shot, if you will. Padres, not even worth a mention, 10.5 back, 25-1 per DraftKings numbers. What do you like today, John?
Well, today, again, it's been a tough baseball season for somebody like me, especially, and I'm in the green, but I'm just so used to really pacing the market. They've been playing around my F5s. Well, they're actually up today, and I think we got a nice matchup plus price. Give me the Twinkies and Pablo Lopez going to Baltimore to face those pesky Orioles, and Krispy Kreme is on the mound for the O's. Pablo Lopez has been great. You know, you got to be careful just buying ERA. The ERA is at 4.4, but the WHIP is at 1.15, OPS 70. Every earned run indicator below 3.25, you know, expected ERA of 3.1. The K rate up at 30, the walk rate down at 7, and we love that balance, right? 20% K minus BB. He gets ahead. He induces chases. He wins inside the zone. He keeps the ball down. He does pretty much everything you're looking for. The Baltimore offense, a bit of a lull right now. But again, I just think we have enough of an advantage on the bump. Again, F5, because I found it for plus money. I found it at even money, maybe minus 105. Give me the Twins and Pablo Lopez. You know, hopefully in that race to 15 outs, right? We'll just hopefully need one or two runs to get it done. But I definitely like that one today.
Let me just ask you about a couple other games on the slate today. So five on the Twins is John's play. Likes the Diamondbacks to win the division at 4-1. Giants and Mets start a series tonight. It's Alex Cobb going up against Carlos Carrasco. Obviously, this has gone completely sideways for the New York Mets. Do you think they can right the ship, or do you think Steve Cohen, their owner, yesterday said, hey, it's not over, but it's getting late, he said yesterday. What do you make of a game like this? You wanted no part of it in the end based on the number with the Giants minus 120 road favorites.
Well, the reason I wouldn't be touching this is because right now the Mets are the falling knife. You mentioned it. I don't think it's too late because mathematically they're not out of it, and the new playoff structure really has created a ton of parity, right? I mean, it's hard to even sell right now. But I do think that as far as tonight goes, I don't know. I would generally be on the side of the Giants. But as a rule, I generally don't back pitchers coming off of the IL or off of a demotion. And that's what we've got with Alex Cobb. And it's just impossible. Carrasco, he's been an absolute disaster this year. 6.2 ERA, 1.6 whip, all the indicators agree. 11% walk rate, just not what we expected. Generally, when Carrasco is healthy, he's normally pretty effective. 91 zone contact, also 10% barrel. So he's not getting ahead. He's having to come into the zone. I can't back the Giants. So for me, this one's either over or not at all.
One more game I want to ask you about. The Yankees start a series with the Cardinals. Yankees got right, if you will, with a couple games against the Athletics. Obviously a perfect game in there as well. But look, it's still no Aaron Judge in the lineup. When there was that celebration for Severino, he did not look particularly good. It does not look like his return is imminent. This is a coin flip game tonight between the Yankees and the Cardinals. And the Cardinals, were it not for the Rockies and the Nationals, they'd have the worst record in all the National League. So here they are tonight going up against Luis Severino, Cardinals sending Liberatore to the mound. Nothing on this coin flip game, and why?
No, again, because the pitching is impossible to back. You know me, I have a trading background, so for me, the trend is your friend. You want to get the trend for Severino is poor. He has a 5.25 ERA, 1.5 whip. The trend for Liberatore is also pretty bad. 5.6 ERA, 1.65 whip, not to be outdone. You know these teams are also starting to hit. I know the Yankees surface stats, average OBP, not really there. A lot of the underlying stuff is, though, hard hit rate, pull rates and stuff. Seems to be said for the Cardinals. We know you're right. The team is wholly disappointed, but it's been more in the back of the pitching. The offense has started to wake up. We know offensively they could be very good. So a lot of times you're going to find my cop-out answer, right, the lawyer answer this year has been, go with the over or not at all. How could you rely on either one of these guys to get the pitching done? I think this one just goes way over. I think we see double digits early in this one, to be honest.
Yankees making the playoffs, John?
Probably not.
He says this.
It's just what it is. I was here last year. Last year on this very show, screaming at the very same decibel level that selling off Jordan Montgomery for an injured Harrison Bader would come back to haunt them in the future with lack of pitching. Don't the Yankees wish they had an inning eater like Jamont right now? Yes, they do.
I didn't mean to laugh, but you said it. You were so despondent when you said it.
Listen, they're bad. I don't want it. I'm objective. They're bad.
John Legace.
No Judge? What if Judge is out? Oh, my God.
Oh, if Judge is out for a protracted period of time, yeah, forget it. Absolutely forget it. John, always a pleasure. Thank you so much. Twins first to five from Mr. Legace. He likes the Diamondbacks to win the NL West. He should be banned for the show for that, but that's a different story. Chris Felica, year-long NFL awards bets next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's always football season here at VSiN, which is why we've just released our NFL betting guide. Our NFL betting guide will help you get ahead of the upcoming NFL season with in-depth profiles of every team, including advanced stats, proven betting systems, and proprietary betting trends, plus best bets on season win totals, futures, and props. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today for as low as $19. Get your newly released NFL betting guide or take advantage of our summer kickoff special and get access to everything we do through the Super Bowl for only $175. Sign up today at vsin.com/subscribe. This was a fun week on the network. Why? Got to talk football each and every hour. We look forward to August, where it's nonstop football, and then, needless to say, beyond that this year, nonstop football. It was nice to have an early start on things with the betting guide, released yesterday.
As I've learned with this job and, you know, previous years, is that can't go wrong with football.
Can't.
You could talk it 365 days a year. It's one of the rare unicorns in sports.
I used to say when I did the podcast back in the day, like 6, 7, 8 years ago when there wasn't very much out there, I could do I did the greatest baseball podcast episode that ever exists on God's green earth. Let's say that I did that, which I didn't, but let's say that I did. There's a ceiling for the listeners, right? But if you whisper the word football, it's like explosion. And that really is, that's just the reality of it. By the way, we get tweets at Beating the Book and everybody, J-Rod on the job, but multiple people here letting me know that BetMGM outside of Nevada and Advocate Conflict, they've put out their Q2s, and Kudermetova 5-1. 5-1. I hate all you people because you're going to get a better number than I am. Good for you. That's a bet to me. Q2 at Wimbledon on the ladies' side. Chris Felica joins us. He's the Bear. He's from Fox Sports in the spirit of football week. and the NFL, that is specifically Pro Football Week. He's got a bunch of season longs. How you doing, Chris?
I'm good, and I'm looking at that. I mean, she does have to deal with Donna Vekic and Caroline Garcia in that quarter.
So yeah,
that's a difficult quarter, I think.
I think Q3 and Q4 are way more difficult than that, though. Look at Q3 and Q4. My God, everybody's in there.
Yeah, no, I would agree. But you look at that the quarter there. Like if I know Drew said he had gotten a good price the other day on Petra Kvitova. Like if you look at that, that's kind of the quarter you want to be in, though, because you got Rybakina. You don't know how well she's going to be coming back from her health issues, and owns Jabeur, who's just lost right now. So you've got a chance in that quarter with two higher seeded players that probably aren't going to be in top four.
Well, I do have Kvitova in Q3 as well, right? Q2 Kudermetova, okay. Q3 Kvitova. Because I mean, Kvitova to me is the one to watch. If Iga doesn't win it, I really think Kvitova is the next up, not Sabalenka or Rybakina on that. Let's talk about your football plays, man.
Yeah.
I
did a little guest. One of my former colleagues is now running Pro Football Network, and they did a little season awards type round table. So we kicked around some potential winners for some of these season-long NFL awards. And I'm sure everybody is going to agree with all these, because look, some of these, and you know this when you're making future wagers, yeah, you want to win, but you're also looking for a price that you may be getting the best of the number right now and put yourself in a position to be able to play a shorter shot later on in the season. So like the biggest story of the offseason was Aaron Rodgers. And if you look at the Jets schedule with the way it starts, Buffalo, Dallas, New England, Kansas City, like if they happen to win a couple of those games and then the end of the season comes when the schedule lightens up, like you know what the narrative is going to be. I mean, they won seven games last year with some of the worst quarterback play in the league from Zach Wilson and then Mike White when he had to play, and they were in the playoff race. So if the Jets are in this, I'd want to have an Aaron Rodgers ticket at 16-1, because he will be the reason why they are in it, if indeed they are. So I thought, again, it's probably going to be a popular pick and whatever else. 16-1 on Aaron Rodgers. If you think the Jets are going to be good, it's a bet you have to make now because of the way the schedule shakes out. But if they win a couple of those games early, that price is going to be long gone.
All right, let's talk about NFL Offensive Player of the Year. This is from the Associated Press. Justin Jefferson won it last year. The year before, it was Cooper Kupp. Year before that, Derrick Henry. Michael Thomas before that. It's sort of a, I don't want to say a depository for non-quarterbacks, but it kind of is, right?
Yeah.
What do you like there?
Yeah, and I went with Deebo Samuel at 40-1 was a price. Like his injury was cut, excuse me, his season was cut short last year by injury. And now with the 49ers having the quarterback, I guess, I don't want to say concerns, but doubts, questions as to the health of Brock Purdy and Sam Darnold coming in there. And who knows, it looks like Trey Lance might be the odd man out, at least there on the rotation to start. Like look, 2 years ago, this guy had over 70, nearly 1,800 combined yards rushing and receiving, 14 touchdowns. He's going to continue to see the ball in a variety of ways, whether it's short passes, jet sweeps, whatever else, reverses. So, like, he, along with Christian McCaffrey, are going to be a big reason why the 49ers succeed early in the year if the quarterbacks don't necessarily pan out early on. They give those guys time to get into the season. But I thought Deebo was worth a flyer in terms of the price.
All right. Defensive player of the year. You also took a 40-1 shot. Roquan in his first full season, I should say, in Baltimore.
Yeah. And I think we saw this in the MVP voting in the NBA this year. There were just people that didn't want to vote for Nikola Jokic, and they didn't. I think you might get a little bit of voter fatigue, I think, with Nick Bosa, which is right or wrong. I don't think it's right, but I think we're dealing with human beings here. So I think with Bosa winning it last year, if Micah Parsons do what he did last year, maybe he can, and if he does, he'll probably win. I mean, you look at Smith, who's going to be doing just about everything for a team that's known for its defense. They made a bunch of offseason acquisitions as well, so they're going to be in playoff contention. So, again, I thought just a flyer at 40-1 was worth it.
All right, offensive rookie of the year and defensive rookie of the year. You went short shot and long shot for each. Offense, short shot Bryce Young, 5-1. And tell us who your long shot was.
Quentin Johnston from the wide receiver from TCU is now with the Chargers. I mean, he fell into a great spot with LA. Like, he's got one of the best quarterbacks in the league in Justin Herbert. And you look at the other wide receivers on that roster with Mike Williams and Keenan Allen, this guy can't stay on the field on a consistent basis. So, I mean, we saw this guy make huge play after huge play at TCU. Just go back and watch the college football playoff semifinal game and what he did to the Michigan defense. Like, he's going to get plenty of looks. And again, I think if a wide receiver wins this award again this year, like Garrett Wilson did a year ago, I think Quentin Johnson's someone to that I'd want to have a ticket on.
And Bryce Young, you believe?
Yeah, I believe he's the most pro-ready quarterback. His ability to process and read defenses and see things that are going on and deliver the ball split seconds before he needs to. It's what he did at Alabama. I would expect him to do the same here. And one of the best things he's got going for him right now, there's no doubt, he's playing. He is the starter. He's going to get the snaps. There's no number two. They are committed to Bryce Young, and that's going to allow him to put up some good numbers.
All right. Defensive rookie of the year is always a little tougher to sort of nail down, but you've got a short shot and a long shot. Jalen Carter of the Eagles is your short shot at plus 750, and then Noah Sewell of the Bears is your long shot at 75-1. Why on both?
Well, I think with Carter, he was the best player in the draft, in my opinion, and he fell into an unbelievable situation with a bunch of former Georgia teammates around him that he knows and likes, and they can help him make the transition from college to pro. And I think he's got to have, like I said, a great locker room, a great coaching staff, a great environment. And I just think that's bad news for the rest of the NFC to get the best defensive player in the draft where they got him. So I like Carter. And then if you're looking for a flyer, I thought Noah Sewell was someone maybe to take a look at. That Bears defense was terrible. But I think if you look at Sewell, the production he had at Oregon, look at before last year. Like they had some coaching changes last year at Oregon on the defensive side of the ball, so his production fell a little bit. But he got a good opportunity early in this year to get some looks at OTAs with Jack Sanborn being hurt. I really like Sewell as a potential disruptor. And again, 75-1, it's a dart throw, but a couple of bucks on him if the Bears are improved, like a lot of people think they could be. I think Sewell will have a good year.
All right, this is awesome. 45 seconds. Coach of the year, state your case and for whom?
Dennis Allen for the Saints. Again, this is a team that I think a lot of people are picking to win that division, which is one of the worst in the league. I mean, bad division, new quarterback, defense that played well at the end of the year. You look at some of the losses that they had a year ago, four were by 4 points or fewer, and you had that incomprehensible loss at Tampa Bay. So you look, I mean, there was certainly a chance at a better record. Early part of the schedule is very manageable. They could be sitting 4-2, 5-1. And again, it's like, much like the case with Aaron Rodgers, if they beat those good teams at the start of the year, people are going to take notice. If the Saints have a great start, 25-1 is going to be long gone if they potentially win that division.
Dennis Allen, 25-1 for Coach of the Year from Feliga. He's also a DeMar Hamlin guy, it should be pointed out, for comeback player of the year.
Yeah, who is it?
Who isn't? Even laying $5 on it, by the way. Chris, thank you. Appreciate it as always.
And lay the 7 tomorrow with Birmingham in the USFL Championship game.
Lay the 7 with Birmingham in the USFL. There you go. He's a USFL expert. Fezzik next. Numbers game.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Attention, BetMGM customers. Have a friend who loves sports as much as you do? Well, here's a chance for both of you to earn a $50 bonus when you sign up through BetMGM's Refer a Friend program, or specifically when they sign up through BetMGM's Refer a Friend program. Just sign into your BetMGM account, click on the Refer a Friend program to send your friend a message inviting them to register a new account in the same state you use BetMGM in. Once your friend signs up and makes a deposit, you'll both receive a $50 bonus. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire in 30 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi and Nevada. It's Gil Alexander. One of the nice things about doing this show from the South Point is that great people, great sports bettors should just roll on in. We can just have some time together. Steve Fezzik joins us doing just that in studio. The only back-to-back champion ever in the Super Contest's illustrious history, back when it was the Hilton back in the day. How you doing, Steve?
I'm good. You know, I live in Henderson, so it's perfect. The South Point is on my way in, so it's oftentimes my first stop when I'm heading to the Strip, and late at night it'll be my last stop heading home.
When you're making your bets, or when you're doing your thing.
Yes.
By the way, you look spectacular. You've lost even more weight. Are you coloring your hair? What are you doing?
Yeah, my stylist does that. I thank my wife for that. And thank Todd Wishnev for the fitness. Todd and I had a bet, well documented, about a year ago. I was at 240, so lifestyle change. So I'm below 200 now, and knock on wood, keeping it going.
He's responsible for me losing 15 bets, not as much as you guys, but yes.
15 bets?
Pounds.
Oh, good.
15 pounds, yes.
Todd wins bets.
Yes, he does.
Pounds.
He does, which we've pointed out on this show before. Okay, so we have tons to talk about. I don't know if we're going to get to it all, but I love talking to you. We'll get to your five best bets that exist right now for the NFL at DraftKings. But first, I want to talk about more macro stuff. I've talked about this with Elihu Foystel on this show before, but I want to give you a chance because every time Borchardt is on, you're very complimentary of him. You're like, he's a super smart guy. But then he gives a parlay at the end and it drives you crazy. But there are certain times where parlays you believe are correct to do or justified.
When are those? And that Elihu, one of the top 10 greatest sports betting minds.
I'm going to go top one or two.
There's always some people we don't know about.
That's true.
So I like to be conservative.
Okay,
but I have no problem with you putting him top three. So when do we parlay? Like, I'm a big anti-parlay guy, but it's really not true. I parlay all the time. So there's three key reasons to parlay. Number one, correlations. Nothing is better than getting a nice correlation between two events and being paid like they're not correlated. So you have to be careful when you play things like same game parlays that are correlated, because if you stack players like a quarterback over to a wide receiver over, you're not going to get the true payout. But if you can find something that is a little bit of a hidden correlation, example, MLB, big road favorite, parlay them to the over. Has everything you want in a correlation. You like that favorite of the over. You like the fact that if the visitor wins, you're going to get the full nine innings.
You're going to get the bottom of the ninth in every time.
Exactly.
That's right. So let me go back just to clarify for those who are newer to better who might have missed it. What Steve was referring to is same game parlays that are packaged by sportsbooks. You are not getting the true bang for your buck. You're not getting true odds. Those are packaged in a way. What he is talking about is stuff that exists out there that is in truth correlated and you will get the true odds for. It's just that they sort of fly under the radar, if you will.
Exactly. Another example is a nor'easter is blowing up the coast, and maybe it's going to hit, maybe it's not, and you've got a lot of locations in football games that are really close together, and you say, you know, I'm going to stack like three college football games that are all going on at similar venues close together. I'll play all three under and hope that that storm front moves through, affecting each and every game, and they're obviously correlated.
A couple other reasons to play parlays.
Yeah, so to circumvent limits. So sometimes places deal very low limits. You see, oh my God, a bet is too good to be true. I will give the poster child of this. So I'm aware of this gentleman. He did not work directly with me, full disclosure. He walks into the Hard Rock, which used to be an independent book, and LSU college football was catching 35 points against Louisiana Monroe. Not laying, catching.
Catching, wow.
Catching plus 35. He proceeded to bet parlay LSU plus 35, a good bet, I might add, to the entire board, $90 a pop, 100 times. Made bet $9,000 on LSU plus 35, came back 2 days later, was immediately barred from playing. They screamed at me. He said, why are you so mad at me? They won by 40. The spread didn't matter. Plus, minus, whatever.
Yeah, but he circumvented the limit that had been established had he bet it just straight that way.
Exactly right.
Okay. So, and now this, I'm laughing inside already because I think I know where the third reason is, because it's a Steve Fezzik special. Would you like to?
Sure. So you parlay stuff when you can get a number that a point spread that is not available, is not widely available, and usually that occurs with half-point parlay cards or ties win parlay cards where spread moves. Northwestern's playing Illinois. The line's 21. Illinois' quarterback goes out, and the line goes down to 18. You can still play Northwestern plus 21.5 on the parlay card. Gimme, gimme, gimme. All you can get,
yes,
provided, you know,
yeah,
you can get away with it.
I was going to say, this is where I have to make the disclaimer. I hope you'll appreciate it. This has gotten Steve, banned before from certain sports books, maybe even the one that we're sitting in.
And, you know, I'm going to give credit to Joe Lupo, former director of the Stardust. 1996, Joe was the first person to request that I not play those anymore.
Okay.
And in fact, he said to me, Steve, you can't play here the rest of the year. Yeah, the rest of the year. Arbitrarily. That's the first time I ever got back. The rest of the year. Now, this was in September. I interpreted that to be December 31st. You know, that was my own interpretation.
You had calendar year.
So January 1st, yeah. I was back at El Dorado and all the coast properties.
Let me just ask you a personal question. It's just me and you, Steve. No one's listening here. It's just me and you. You are the nicest guy in the world. On Twitter, you would even admit you're a little different. You right?
Helmuth-ish.
You're like Charles Oakley out there, right? You, Jeff Benson. You know, you guys
love
are
Jeff
nicest
Benson
people,
so much.
Nicest people in real life. Get a little ornery on Twitter. So when people say that to you, when a sportsbook says that to you, and they're like, Steve, listen, calendar year or forever, you can't bet this anymore. What inside you boils where you're like, I must exploit every living edge that's out there, no matter what this human being tells me.
To be fair, with the Joe Lupo situation, I think Joe had properly expressed that I was, to me, that I was pushing the envelope.
Yes.
And so I'll take the blame for that one.
Okay.
So that was,
okay.
Yeah. I think I was playing excessively. And I remember back then.
What I read into that is that if you feel disrespected, you will continue. If you feel respected, you will not. Is that correct?
No, if I feel I was properly told.
Communicated
that we were at a point where I was.
Could you possibly be misinterpreting at times that you are the one where the communication breakdown exists?
Oh, of course.
Okay,
absolutely.
Just
I was not a communications major in school. I'm like a left brain math geek that can barely formulate a sentence. That's why I became an actuary.
And a great one, I would imagine you were, because you are, by the way, I don't even say Feustel is one of the great minds, but you are as well. People should know that about you, that you are truly one of the great mathematical sports betting minds, and you know how to exploit stuff in a way that mere mortals do not. Let me talk about one other thing that's going on here. So that's the parlay dissertation. But we're right here. July is about to happen tomorrow. People are betting MLB sides. They're betting MLB totals. Why do you view that as a fool's errand?
I'm not going to say it's 100% fool's errand. That's a little strong, but it is not efficient to try to make a lot of money in July because the very efficiency of the market, I would argue, is really as tough as it's going to be. So think about it. There's no NBA going on. I know the content providers are having a good old time telling you who's going to win the NBA, but there's nothing to bet on other than the futures markets. And the NFL, real quiet. All the players are off for a couple weeks. No one is betting any of the major sports. We're betting women's tennis. I get that. Mm-hmm. But the limits are low. So the odds makers, the attention, the only thing with big limits is baseball. So because of that, it's very rare come the day of the game that you're going to be able to find a really good bet. And there's a reason that when you have John Legace, boy, I wish he brought a little more energy to the show. but when he comes on and all of a sudden he's betting division bets and he's betting first fives and stuff, you know, kudos to him. So he's like, the stuff he's finding has got to be a little bit more niche, a little bit more derivatives than the bread and butter sides and totals on the day of the game.
I will tell you, this is not what you're necessarily talking about, but even when I was handicapping baseball every day for seasons, I remember right after the All-Star break specifically, the numbers would kind of go on the fritz anyway. They wouldn't work. And we never could figure out if it was the way that they just came back out of the break. They just didn't. I don't know if guys weren't ready to play in the same way, but there was always that too, which has nothing to do with what you're talking about, but it's also just a layer to add.
And not to mention, I mean, and you knew about this when you're betting professionally on baseball, that the markets were low. You couldn't give it out to your clients. Texas was minus 120. You make Texas minus 160.
That's right.
And then you have to choose, do I give it out to my clients minus 144? And that's really a difficult decision. Your numbers still support it, but you know what? Now you're gambling. Now you're, instead of just winning, betting Texas minus 120, now we're arguably advantage gaming minus 144, but the edge is small if it's there at all.
Steve Fezzik, kind enough to join us in studio. He'll join us for another segment. We'll get to his favorite five bets that exist right now in the NFL and whatever else we can get to, including, I don't know, Sharp's unwillingness to listen to other Sharps. Perhaps we'll have time for that. Whatever we don't have time for, he'll be back. Best bets from Steve Fezzik next.